Good morning. How are you?
Good.
You don't mind if I sort of sit? You know, I'm an old guy now. Not like Steve. Steve's still a young guy. So, there we go. I had when Steve asked me to speak, he told me he'd been working through relationships. Well, I wasn't sure if that meant that's what he wanted me to do as well, or whether I was to do something else. But I decided I would just go ahead and deal with relationships. You know, this morning I was sitting in my chair and my dog had her head on my lap and just relaxing. And I thought about that relationship and how many of us, because of our pets, sometimes that's the most important relationship in our lives, or it feels that. Don't tell me. It feels that way, though, doesn't it? I mean, my dog will follow me wherever I am. She follows me into the bathroom, lays down. When I'm come out of the shower, whatever I'm doing in there, she'll get up, follow me back out. If she can't get in the bathroom with me, she'll jump up on the bed and lay there watching the door for me to come out. And I thought, I wish my wife was like that. Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. But, you know, we were created for a relationship. Do you ever think about this? We were created for relationship. And I realize that relationships can be difficult. You know, if it weren't for people, relationships would be great. But they can be hard. They can be difficult. I'm one of eight kids, and growing up in my family, it was chaotic. And relationships, you know, were difficult at times. Yesterday, we had a couple of our grandchildren with us, and we had brought them back to their house because they were going to have a birthday party next door. My daughter and her husband were out riding. And the middle girl, she's having a meltdown. She's crying, right? And she's crying because there's someone at the birthday party she doesn't like. I don't want to go. And she's sitting on the stairs and she's crying and wiping her eyes. And I said, listen, it's time to put your big panties on and just go out in the world and do what you have to do. And she said to me, she said, I'm not done melting down yet. You got to wait for this to, you know, finish. And I said, come on, let's get on with this and let's move on. And she did. She went over and I asked my daughter later, I said, how was their day? Oh, they're not even home yet. I said, you're kidding me. Well, later she told me, oh, they had a blast. They had a wonderful time with us. I said, what about her meltdown? She doesn't remember it. Relationships. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, then God said, it is good, not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper who is just right for him. It's about relationships. And God recognized from the very beginning that man needed companionship. He needed relationships. I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about iron sharpening iron. And sometimes the relationships sharpen us in life. We don't always like them, but they're good for us. They provoke things in us that cause us to grow and to change and to become who we are. And I wonder this morning, are we grateful for relationships that we have? I don't know. I think we live in a culture now that only wants the relationships that are fun, that are easy, that aren't difficult. If you watch or listen to social media, there's things that happen in social media that I'm like, are you kidding me? Facebook wars. Have you ever seen the Facebook wars? Boy, I have, amongst family members. I've got family members that aren't speaking to other family members because of something. But you know, at the end of the day, hopefully we are thankful for the relationships that we have. My wife and I have been married, and I know I've told you this before. We've been married since second grade. But legally, didn't happen then. But we've been married, 58 years, right? I forget. And I can tell you that 58 years of relationship hasn't always been hoorah. Okay, there's been times that she has tested my patience, and I am such a great guy. I don't understand why she has such a hard time with me, but seriously, we have been gotten on each other's nerves. On the way over here, I said, I'm always thinking about food, by the way. I can be eating breakfast and I'm going to ask what's for lunch. Anyone else like that? Good. So this morning on the way over here, I said to her, what are we doing for lunch today? She goes, I don't know, but I've got pork chops for dinner. I'm looking forward to lunch right now, right? So food is important. Food is comfort. I can have a relationship with food that is very significant. It's important to my day. So when we think about relationships, we have relationships with people, with things, with pets, and they're all important. And without them, where ultimately would we be? But here's the other interesting thing to me about relationships, and that is that I can't move it. What happened? Did I break it? I can't go. I'm frozen. I'm frozen up. Anyway, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, there it is. The writer says, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. What's my point? Relationships are part of our worship. Relationship is part of our sacrifice to God. How do we live with loving our neighbor as ourselves in the context of relationship? Well, part of it is that we have to learn how to love people as Christ would love people. And sometimes it feels like a sacrifice, doesn't it? Sometimes it's hard to do. It's hard to love people who are difficult. It's hard to love people who are, well, just annoying. You ever work with someone that you're just like, oh, man, they're in today. Oh, great. How am I going to do this? And that's the way life is sometimes. But the point is that I believe that what God is telling us through this verse and other verses, that part of relationships and part of walking in good relationship is part of worship. And that we need to learn how to give ourselves over to God's plan. I've realized that maybe, just maybe, the only gospel that that person is going to hear is the gospel coming from your life. It reminds me of a story a number of years ago. Chuck Colson, who's now passed away, was in an airport in Africa, Nairobi, I believe, and the planes were grounded. They weren't flying. It was 100 and some degrees like Steve is experiencing today. And it was, everyone was uncomfortable. The air conditioning wasn't working. And unbeknownst to Chuck Colson, there was a person watching him because he knew of Chuck's story, of his testimony, and he wanted to see how this guy was going to respond in an adverse situation. And as a result of that, this man eventually met Colson at another event years later and said, it's because of you that I came to Christ. It is because of you that I surrendered, because I watched your behavior in the midst of a trial. And it impressed me so much that I want to know more about your God. And you see, one of the things we fail to realize is that relationships is what God uses to bring people to him. God works through who? You and me. And we don't often, well, it's not always easy. Trust me. I'm not the most easiest person to get along with. Now, you don't see me that way because, well, I put on a good front for you. I wear a good mask for you. But I can be annoying. I pick on my wife. I've been doing it for a lot of years. I'll grab her knee. Make her jump. Whoa, what'd you do that for? Just make sure you're still breathing, honey. Don't worry about it, you know? I mean, at our age, we have to do that. I've woken her up in the middle of the night. Say, what? What do you want? Just want to make sure you're okay. What? I don't do that as much anymore because it's gotten me in trouble. But, so here's the problem, though. Here's the problem. Even though that's true in Romans 12, there is another issue that's going on. And the problem is what? You and me. Pogo says, he just simply says, we have met the enemy and he is us. You could turn to the person next to you and say, you're the enemy. Could be. But you see, we get in the way of God's plan. We get in the way of God's purpose. Why? Because we think it's about us. And our culture has really moved into that area that it's about me. It's about what I want. It's about what I think. It's about what I feel is important. And what you think and what you want is insignificant. That's why we have road rage today. It's why we have people taking carts at Walmart and pushing them into each other. You ever walk down the aisle in Walmart and, you know, it's 6 foot wide and there's one person standing in the middle of it, not in line, but across it. You ever met those people? Yeah, they're, what do? Do you stand there and glare? Do you say, excuse me? Do you back up and go around? Do you sizzle inside? And the thing is we don't know what's going on in that person's life. I watched a video recently of this very event, and the person blocking the aisle was just obnoxious and was telling people, you don't like it? Go around. And sadly, this is what happens. And sometimes those very people that are causing all of that is us. Because we feel entitled, because we feel, what? That it's our life. And you're not going to tell me, as my granddaughters might say, you're not the boss of me. Yeah, well, I got news for you. I am the boss right now. In fact, I said to my granddaughter, I said, listen, you have a choice. You can go to the party or you can go sit in your room. Really, the choice is yours. Whatever you want to do. I'll go to the party. Why? Well, sometimes, even as young people, we think it's about us. We think it's about what we want. In John chapter 17, verse 21, Jesus said, I pray that they will be what? One. Just as you and I are one, and you as you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Why is relationship so important? Relationships are important because God wants to live and work through us so that people will see him in our lives. Think about that. And ask yourself the question, how am I doing, Lord? How's that working for us? You see, if Jesus was praying that for his disciples, he's praying that for us as well, his disciples today, that we would be one with him. I was thinking about the Last Supper and Judas. Where was he? With Christ in that meal. And yet, Jesus loved him. Jesus was in a relationship knowing that Peter was going to deny him. He was in a relationship that he knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew what was going to happen to the disciples, and yet he loved them through it. Through it. Not out of it. He didn't take them out. He allowed them to go through that. And sometimes walking with someone in a relationship is hard. When they're going through stuff, if you're like me, I'm a fixer. If Helen's going through something, I want to fix it. Because once I fix it, now I can breathe. How many times do we feel when someone is having a toot on that we feel responsible for fixing it for them? Yeah, how's that working? It doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. And the problem is that we still try to do it. Because we want our relationships good and wonderful and happy. Helen and I watched a movie, a romantic movie the other night. And I thought, how come we don't have romance like that as they were fighting gorillas in the jungle and all kinds of stuff? Maybe I should take her to the jungle and find gorillas. No, she's saying no. You're not taking me anywhere. So when I understand that God is saying, Christ is saying, that his prayer is that we would be one, my question becomes then, Lord, what do I need to be doing for that to happen in my life? Where am I in this place in life with you? Are we one? Or are we only one in some areas where it's convenient to be pious, to be religious, to be in relationship? You see, sometimes God wants us in a relationship with him during the most difficult times of life. The difficult times when you go to the grocery store and you're hoping you're going to get there before the crowd gets there, and for whatever reason, you missed it. And instead of 100 people in the store, there's 500 people in the store. And I hope no one does this, but are you one of the people that goes on the cart like this and you walk through the store, or you stroll through the store? I hate getting behind them. And my wife is one of those people that goes to the grocery store early in the morning so that she can miss the people. But sometimes maybe God wants us there for the people because he's got a message for the people or someone. And so we need to remember that God is praying that we would be one with him, that this relationship that we have with him needs to be spread out to those that are around us. The other thing, and I love this in Philippians 4, Paul is saying, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Well, all right, Lord, that's really good to think about. It's really good to do, but, you know, with Charlie, it's not going to happen. He's a jerk. I can't have a relationship with him. And I think that what God is saying back to us, no, you need to think about these things. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praise, show it towards Charlie. And I think we go, do you realize what you're asking of me? I mean, do you even know Charlie? Do you even know his wife, Gertrude, or whatever her name is? By the way, I don't have a neighbor named Charlie, at least not my knowledge. But you know, it's hard getting along with people sometimes. But when I read what Paul is saying, it's about an attitude that's coming from within. It's about how I'm to be behaving and living and walking. My mind needs to be on what's true, what's noble, what's right, what's pure. And I think ultimately the question is, Lord, how do I do this? I was wronged. They were wrong. How do I get over this? How many know that being hurt is difficult to walk through? It's sometimes, or at least we think sometimes, it's easier just to walk away. Leave them. But is that what God is calling us to in relationships? Didn't Jesus say, love our enemies? Oh yeah, he did, didn't he? He did say something like that about loving our enemies. Do you know that sometimes your spouse is your enemy? Yeah, you already know that, don't you? The question is, Lord, how do I love them? How do I do this? How do I get past this? Well, this is what I love in Romans 12, verse 18. It says, if it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live how? Live at peace with everyone. I like this because, well, he's saying, if it is possible. In other words, it is possible. When he says, as much as it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, in other words, you have a responsibility in the relationship to make it better. And you have the possibility for that to happen. Well, how do I do that? How do I get to that place? Well, in 2 Peter, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 3, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. So when I go back to this verse, if it is possible, I have to remember that His divine power has given me everything I need to live that godly life. I have to tap into it. You have to tap into it. It's not easy all the time, that's true. But He's given us what we need. He has given us the power to do it. We have to choose it. That's a huge word, choice. We have to let go of the hurt, let go of the incident, let go of the thing in order to traverse that gulf that separates us from that person. As I said before, sometimes we are the only gospel that that person is going to see. You've heard the expression, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be one. Why? Because somehow that relationship with that person was fractured. Somehow that relationship is broken. And what the person is saying is that I'm hurt. And that person has hurt me, and they're supposed to show love to me. They're supposed to accept me and value me and show me worth and significance. But they haven't. And so I'm reminded what Peter is telling me is that God has given me the power to do it. It's up to me and us to find that and to walk through that. Again, if it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Here's one of the things that you can do. May not be the best thing all the time, but one of the things that I've done, honey, if I were living with peace in peace with you, what would that look like right now? In other words, living at peace with someone isn't always about our definition as much as it is about their definition. Why? Because I want to be able to speak the language that they understand, the way they hear it, as opposed to the way I hear it. And that's not always easy because you're putting yourself out there for rejection. And just because you do it, doesn't mean you're going to hit favorable responses. I was in a situation a number of years ago and with a church downstate, and there was a problem that arose. And I said to the person that was involved, I said, I had inadvertently offended them, not because of what I said, but because of what they thought I said and what they thought I meant by it. You know, it's interesting. Words have different meanings to different people. And just because you use a word that's familiar with you doesn't mean that everyone is going to understand that word the way you understand it. And so I said to the person, I've offended you. I own that. Would you forgive me and would you help me so that this never happens again? Guess what the response was? No, I won't. What can I do with that? I have done everything I can to live at peace with this person, and the person refuses. And so what I did was I walked away. And it's sad because this was 20 some years ago. It still bothers me. It still bothers me because as much as I wanted to heal that relationship, I didn't have the power within me to do it. It was like sort of like playing tennis. I hit the ball back in their court, and they wouldn't play. And sometimes in relationships, that's what happens because not everyone is going to do it. So I've just thrown some things up here, and the first questions I have to ask, is it possible? Is it possible that I can live in a peaceful relationship with this person? And the first thing I answer to that is yes, it is possible. I may have to do something different. Because all at the end of the day, when I stand before God, I am responsible for what? For what I do, not what someone else's do. I have to learn how to think it through. Process it. Don't react, but respond. Respond. I like what I call a one-down approach. A one-down approach is simply, as I said in my illustration before, I've offended you. What could I do differently? In other words, what I have found was if I come at a problem lower than that person or in that situation, I am eliciting a response that hopefully will be favorable. My daughter had a situation recently, and she went to the person and said, I see that we have a problem. What can I do to change this? Not that she was the problem, but she elicited the person into a solution. And sometimes that's the way we need to learn how to do it. In the scope of eternity, how important is this issue? Not very. And oftentimes that's the case. How important is it? Does it really matter? Is it about me or is it about them? What's the real issue? I think that a lot of times we need to sit down and work through what's going on in the relationship and process it and get to some answers. But the moment you come at someone with you and a finger, you've already broken your ability to bring healing. Did you know that one of the biggest causes of broken relationships is unforgiveness? Did you know that? Now, yes, there's hurt. Yes, there's other things that are going on, but we won't let it go. And we hold on to unforgiveness. We hold on to bitterness. We hold on to hurt. We hold on to pain. And we don't let it go. Someone once said to me that if they let go of everything, they would be like Humpty Dumpty. They'd fall off the wall and they wouldn't be able to be put back together again. That's pretty sad, isn't it? But you see, everything about their lives, the good and the bad, created who they were and how they lived in their world. And it wasn't a healthy one. I believe that our relationship vertically with God will affect our ability to walk horizontally with others. If you want to walk with others in relationship, the primary focus needs to be vertically with God. Because ultimately it is God who's going to direct us. God, how do I do this? Lord, how do I reconcile with this person? Lord, how do I deal with this situation? Because we've been created by him, for him, in relationship. And so if I'm going to walk in that place, I must walk this way and make that my primary focus, because when I'm doing that, this side, this horizontal or relationships will naturally take care of themselves. So if it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace. If you're having trouble doing this, and perhaps the problem isn't with others, but rather with your relationship with the Father. Maybe, that's where the problem lies. And you see, if that's where the problem lies, guess who is responsible to change that? You are. I am. It's not about what the other person will do. It's about what I will do. And what am I willing to do? Jesus was willing to the point of the cross. But we don't like that. We don't like self-sacrifice. We don't like, but I deserve. No, you don't. What you deserve is to walk humbly before the Lord. What you deserve is to be his faithful servant. What you deserve is to do what he's called you to do. And I believe that part of our problem in our culture is because we, the followers of Jesus, aren't doing and living in harmoniously with others, not even within our own church bodies. So where are you in that? That's something you and the Holy Spirit are going to have to work on. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, to be who you've called us to be. Help us to be able to see things as you see things. Help us to hear your voice and to follow it in these difficult, difficult places. Help us to live in harmony and union with others. In Jesus' name, amen.